Right, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. Entitled, The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Yay. Wonderful. I feel like doing what Scott did this morning, just to make sure it doesn't get caught. I liked that. Did anyone see him do those moves this morning to make sure the microphone didn't make any noises? So lovely to be here with you this evening. What a glorious day it has been. It's so exciting to be here and to kick off this new sermon series that we've got, which is talking about the theology of new expressions. And as I've been going through this sermon myself, I've got so many questions that I'm sorry I haven't been able to answer completely. And so if you do have questions tonight and questions from the weeks coming up, I think we've got about 5 weeks looking at this, it would be amazing if you could email them to Daniel, and hopefully on one of the evenings, maybe the last one, but we'll see, we'll be able to have a bit of Q&A and talk about some specific questions that have been raised through this sermon series. So what Daniel has given me tonight, and this is how I know my husband loves me, such a challenging passage, but an amazing passage. And the theme or the topic is the theology of new expressions, particularly looking at having no music or no musical worship. And this has really challenged me because music's really close to my heart. And for me, it's a real key way that I connect with God. But it's important that we look at this stuff and we ask our questions about how we're going to do this, because we've got some such exciting stuff coming up in the life of this church. And as we've heard tonight, exciting stuff has been happening already. But in September, we are starting an alternative service called Sports Plus. And that's going to be part of our this journey into new expressions. You may or may not know, hopefully you do, but as a church, you guys decided and agreed that God had given us a vision for what he wants to do in the life of the church. And you can find out more about that in the 2020 vision document that I'm sure some of you got. But Daniel and I, we weren't there when you decided that. And we heard of this vision, of this dream that God's given this church. And we said, count us in. We want to get involved. And that's why it's so exciting to talk about this, to do this sermon series and to be part of it. Because it's looking at how, as a church, how we are going to step out of this building into multiple locations around Rayleigh and meet people who would never normally walk into church. And there's a lot to discover about ourselves and about God on the way. So walk with me over the next 15 minutes and hopefully we will find out something about what new expressions can look like without musical worship. So as I've said already, music means a lot to me. And I think music means a lot to a lot of people. Ask yourself this. Do you have a favourite song? Or a favourite worship song? You know, that song that just creeps in when you're on your own washing up. Is there a song that comes out? Or in the shower? I don't want to know details, but I'm sure you sing in the shower. Have you ever danced the night away in the ballroom, on a ballroom floor rather, to the band? Or may I, dare I ask, in the pink toothbrush? Have you danced the night away? Probably to something a bit more cheesy. Music is really important in our culture. Over 50,000 people attended the concert in Manchester, where unfortunately the atrocities happened a few weeks ago. 50,000 people. 30 million people tuned in to watch carols at King's last Christmas. Music is part of our culture, and it's evident across all cultures and countries. And there are so many examples of praise and music and acts of worship throughout the Old and New Testament. So why am I standing here saying that it's probably not going to be on the order of service in our new expressions? The first point is looking at the person in front of us, the people that we want to engage. Now, gifts may or may not be important to you. There are some people who, for gifts, it's their primary love language. Does anyone really care about receiving a gift? Does it make you feel special? Hands up, show of hands, anyone? A few. Because for some people, it's not on the agenda. It really doesn't matter if they get a gift or not. And usually it's those people that sometimes forget to buy gifts because it's not one of the primary ways that they receive love. But for me, it's really important, and I really love to get a gift right. This past week, it was my nephew's fourth birthday, and this weekend we've just been up celebrating his birthday. And I was buying him his gift this week, and I was pretty sure that he didn't have a Spider-Man action figure. And Psalms encouraged me in this purchase because apparently he talks about Spider-Man all the time. So I took her word for it. I was like, yeah, we'll get him Spider-Man. And I knew that he didn't have this gift because when we lived in Canterbury, we lived just a stone's throw away from them. And we were in and out each other's houses. I pretty much knew all the toys they had in their house. I was confident in this gift purchase. And so we get there, and that's the first thing he wants to do is open his presents. And bless him, when he opened them, he was so sweet, and he was genuinely excited. But then Miriam, my sister-in-law, did look at me. She said, I'm so sorry, he's already got it. I said, it's fine, I've got a gift receipt, don't worry. But what happened was a friend who was clearing out some toys had given him a big pack of toys, and the Spider-Man had been in there. Oh, I was gutted, absolutely gutted. Let me just tell you another scenario about gift giving. Have you ever known someone, or maybe you've been the person, who's taken the time to get a really nice bottle of wine, or if you're Scott, a bottle of scotch or something like that, to give to someone to say thank you? Or gin, you know, I know Scott's got lots of nice tastes. But anyway, get them something nice to say thank you. And on giving it to them, you found out that they're teetotal, or they don't drink. Oh, it's so frustrating. And this is my first point that I want to say. We need to think about the person in front of us, because the gift has got to be appropriate for the person receiving it. What is in front of Isaiah in this vision that God gave him? Let me just read verse 2 again. If I can find where I've marked my page. Okay, don't worry about it. So what it says in verse 2 is that it's a valley of dry bones. And this is a symbol of Israel because they are in exile. And it's a literal sign or symbol because loads of people lost their lives in the process of exile. But it's also a spiritual sign of the state of Israel's heart. He sees before him dry bones. What do we see before us when we look outside the church? We see those who don't know God yet. And there's something really key that I've discovered in my process of trying to be a person who gives good gifts, is that to be a good gift giver, you have to be a good listener. Take note of when you're talking to people, their favorite foods and where they like to eat and things like that. And do you know why I didn't know that my nephew already had Spider-Man? Two things. Because I hadn't been doing life closely enough with him to know. But more important than that is because I didn't ask those who are doing life with him, and that's his parents. If I had just stopped to say, has he got this? I would have found out that he did. I wanted to get my nephew a gift that he could receive, keep, and cherish. And I know that as a church, we desperately want to give the gift that we have here as a church, the gift of communion with God, to those outside of our walls, those who don't know God, those that we could compare with this vision of dry bones. And we can't deny that culture is changing. In previous generations, it was very normal and acceptable to come to church. It was encouraged, and it was on most people's agenda. But it no longer is. That is just the case. So we need to start asking the right questions and listening to those who are in the workplace, in the voluntary field, in friendship with their neighbours, and listening to those with pioneering hearts who are pressing into relationships with unchurched people and secular organisations. And then take a good look at what we're offering. What is the gift that we are trying to give? Now, I'm just going to find Isaiah because I want to read verse 4. You can tell my Bible's falling apart. I've had this since I was a student. You know when you just love a good Bible and you can't bring yourself to getting a new one? So good. One moment. Where are you? Here we are. So, 37. Can I just apologise? I'm saying Isaiah, and I mean Ezekiel. Oh dear, right, let's shake it up and start again. Ezekiel, thank you for your patience. Ezekiel, oh dear, one of those days, guys. Ezekiel. Where are you? Here we go. There's my piece of paper. It's tucked in. Ah, oh, the Lord is good. Verse 4, he says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, stood on their feet, a vast army. Oh, such an amazing picture. Now, this weekend, we were also, we wanted to celebrate my nephew's birthday. So we went to somewhere called the Powell Cotton Museum in Crex Park. I don't know if anyone's been there. It's in Kent. And in there is a huge taxidermy collection. Now, I'm sure some of you know what taxidermy is, but if you don't, it's stuffed animals. Now, it sounds crazy, but my nephew loves it because he gets to get really up close with all the animals. And I wasn't really sure what to expect, but actually it was really impressive. Elephants, giraffes, rhinos, lions. I have to say, there just as an offside, and it was a low point. There's a number of exhibitions, and we were in the first exhibition about 10 minutes, and it wasn't until I got to the second exhibition that I realised all these animals had been killed on purpose for this, you know, to be looked into and put on show. And Daniel said I looked like a 10-year-old that just been given really bad news. I was like, this is so sad. But that's just how they did it 100 years ago for research. But anyway, it really was impressive, the size of an elephant, to be that close. They were perfect specimens, but they weren't alive. They were perfect, but they weren't alive. And is this not us? Is this not humanity if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us? And for those in front of us, you know, life might look like your person next to you, your neighbor, it might look like the perfect life on the outside, but what about their hearts? You know, you might not know God. You might be sitting here and you don't know God and say, actually, excuse me, my life's really good. But ask yourself, or have you ever asked yourself, is there more to life? And for anyone who has encountered God, they would say yes. What the gift that God gives in this passage and shows Ezekiel is his spirit. When he says about breath, what is the spirit described as in the Bible, in the word? It says breath, the breath of God. It is his spirit. I will make breath enter you. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. Life that is crushed and bone dry, as Scott was talking about this morning, this is how we come to life and bring dry bones back to life. And when I asked Daniel about why this passage, he said what he found was amazing. This is such an amazing encounter with God and the creation of this spiritual army. And it all happened without a guitar, drums, or vocalist. Interestingly, as I was looking into this, you may or may not know this, but congregational worship came about in the Reformation. When people wanted to move away from the congregation just listening to the choir. And actually, it's a sign of the priesthood of all believers that everyone gets to join in. Everyone gets to encounter God in this process, not just only those who could sing beautifully. And I think that's really interesting when we think about these new expressions, because we are doing something similar. We're saying that we want to do some new expressions of church and do it in such a way that anyone can encounter God. And that is why so many new or fresh expressions, you could say, have developed without musical worship within them. Now, I'm going to just read out some examples of some new expressions in a minute. Because it's good to, we can talk about the theory, and we will be talking about the theory over the next few weeks, but it's good to hear and just see what are they like and try and get a picture of this. But what I think is really important, what we need to keep in mind as we go on this journey, I guess, of new expressions, is keeping God at the center and God key. And I love in this passage in Ezekiel where he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know." And sometimes I find myself asking the question, will these new expressions work, God? Will they be okay? Not looking like our traditional type of church with musical worship? And I love that the answer is, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And we can lean and rely on him and push into him. I also found myself asking the question, what is good and pleasing to God? Because that's why we worship, don't we? Because we want to honour him. We want to give him the praise that he's due. And I was thinking, gosh, if only Jesus said, you know, someone had this exact conversation, that would be helpful. And he did, and someone did. And if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, you can. To John, in chapter 4, when he talks with the Samaritan woman, she asks him about worship. And I just wanted to read this out. So they've been sitting at the well, talking together, and she says this. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. And I love that, because it's just saying that spirit, that wind that Ezekiel saw moving through the bones, that is going to be present in our new expressions, even if music isn't. So, can I read you a few stories? Yeah? Fantastic. So, the first one is about a Methodist minister. And sorry, just to say, I picked some stories that are really just quite simple and basic, because there are some amazing stories of new expressions of God. New expressions of church. But I wanted to pick some that were kind of similar to our context and just really down to earth. So, the first one is about a Methodist minister called Andrew Pakes. And he began to develop an emerging congregation, as he called it, called 365. It was alongside his ministry in a traditional setting. He describes how things have moved on since when he started and he planted the new expression. I became a minister without appointment in September 2004 in order to concentrate on an emerging congregation. I took a sabbatical to reflect on what the church may look like in the 21st century. As I fed back these findings to my congregation, about 5 people came to me and said they would like to be part of the church I had described. The 5 then grew to 10, and in a few months we asked our circuit's permission to begin forming the church we imagined. The small congregation developed through friendship and community involvement. In the beginning, we encouraged each other to take an active part in the local community in various ways, such as becoming a school governor, joining the local PTA, or attending local residents' association meetings. If there was a local quiz night, we would enter a team. This helped us to make friends and get to know and love the community which we were a part of. As 365, we agreed to keep meetings to a minimum and free ourselves to spend time with family, friends, and colleagues. Making and building friendship is all important, as is praying that those friendships will go on to see the development of a relationship with Jesus. There is a real sense of the Spirit of God in the community, and we find his Spirit wherever we go. It's not just locally, it's happening in other parts of London too. Together, 12 years later, we continue to grow in faith and make friends as we meet twice a month. We will firstly get together once a month on a Saturday for food or take part in an activity together, and we frequently share bread and wine. Then the adults also meet up for supper at another time during the month at someone's house to share in a discussion about life and faith and important matters of the day. He goes on to say, "It's been a difficult journey, but it's been amazing to see." This is a movement of ordinary people, and it's not easy to define or pin down as it's constantly changing. We try to view everyone as being a member of 365. It's a matter of opting out rather than opting in. So that was one story. This is another one. Three Christian women living in a village loved cooking. They invited teenagers to learn how to cook and then eat what they'd made. And then they ate together and talked about their lives. And when it seemed natural, the women shared what their Christian faith meant to them. The meals always started with grace. The teenagers were invited to add their own thank yous and later their asking prayers. They wrote their prayers on a piece of paper and dropped them into a cooking bowl, passed around the bowl, and drew out a prayer to read. Increasingly, the teenagers chatted about Christianity, and eventually Cook at Church, a new Christian community, was born, and similar groups are now forming over the country. I just thought that was brilliant. A great example. And let me tell you a little bit, you may already know, of the new expression or alternative service that's starting in September here as part of the Rayleigh Baptist Church family. So Sports Plus is going to be starting in Grove Primary School, and it's going to be the third Sunday of every month, and that's why it's called an alternative gathering, because people from this body who have got a passion about this are going to be serving at Sports Plus, and it's open to families and their children, and it's just going to be a space where people can come and their kids can play football or table tennis, badminton. We've got the outside space, so we might do some other sports too. And then in the middle, we're going to have a half-time talk, and someone will share a testimony simply about what God has done in their life, and then we'll get back to playing sports. And that's going to be it. That's what it's going to look like. So we've got some really exciting things happening in this church too. These new expressions, they may look different if there's no music. And that might be because we're on the side of a hill because people have been doing mountain biking, or down in a cafe eating food together and laughing and sharing God stories, or playing sports together, as I just said. But what's key is that we are giving the gift of the presence of God. And that is a gift worth giving. Because when the Holy Spirit is in you, when you have encountered the Holy Spirit, like these bones did, like in this vision that Ezekiel saw, you are a carrier of God's presence. I just finished with this quote. I think it's so appropriate that we're having communion together this evening. And someone said this: fresh expressions or new expressions represent Holy Communion, a piece of the church that is broken off to become a new community to be shared with others. I'll just read that one more time. Fresh expressions or new expressions represent Holy Communion, a piece of the church that is broken off to become a new community to be shared with others. I'm just going to pray. Is that all right? Jesus, I thank you so much. It is so exciting, the journey that this church is going on and the desperation in the hearts of this congregation, of this body of people, to give the gift of your presence to those outside these walls. And Holy Spirit, would you come and encounter us and help us to take part in what you're doing, even though that may look different to what we're used to doing. Help us not to be afraid to ask the difficult questions and bring peace and movement in our hearts and in the people outside this church, that we may see salvation for your name. Amen.